Chapter 17. There are three ways to take down a wild Tusklin. The average hunter takes a large war weapon with which to shoot the animal. When it works, the method is quick and efficient. But if the first shot fails to hit a vital organ, the Tusklin may be upon its attacker before a second shot can be aimed and fired. The wise hunter takes a smaller boar weapon. The method is less likely to produce a first shot kill, but the second, third, or fourth shot may succeed. However, if the boar is too small, none of the shots will penetrate to vital points, and the Tusklin will again triumph over its attacker. The subtle hunter takes no visible weapon at all. He instead induces 1,000 sting flies to attack the Tusklin from all sides. The method is slow and destructive of the pelt, but in the end, the Tusklin is dead, and it dies, never knowing where the attack came from.
Eli sighed as he looked at the navigational repeater display in Thrawn's office. Another day, another crisis. Another small-time, minor-world, petty-plated crisis.
"So what's this one about, sir?"
he asked.
"It appears to be a land dispute, Ensign," Thrawn said.
Eli clenched his teeth.
"Ensign..."
Thrawn had promised that he would try to get him the promotion both agreed was long overdue. So far, it hadn't happened, and only Eli knew why. He thought about that brief and long-ago meeting with Moff Gotti's flunky, Culper. He thought about it a lot. At the time, he'd dismissed Culper's threat to keep him at the bottom of the Navy's officer corps as empty hyperbole designed to scare him. But as the old saying said, it wasn't a bluff if you had the cards. Moff Gotti clearly had the cards. And for all of Thrawn's military cleverness, he had no idea how to navigate Coruscant politics.
"On one side is the Aif clan of the native Sephari," Thrawn continued. "On the other side is a group of human colonists in an enclave pressing up against Aif territory. The colonists claim the Aifs have been raiding their border settlements and demand concessions and a safety buffer zone that would together take nearly half the Aifs' land and force them to move into territories controlled by their fellow Sephari. The Aifs claim they have lived on that land for centuries and state their attacks are in retaliation against trespassing and border raids from the humans." Eli suppressed another sigh.
"And we are here, why?"
"Because I requested the assignment," Thrawn said. "With the assistance and support of Colonel Yularen."
"I see,"
Eli murmured. "And with the further backing of the Emperor?" "Possibly." Thrawn's informal connection to Yularen wasn't something that normally happened between Navy officers and ISB. And Eli had long suspected the Emperor's silent hand in the relationship. Certainly it made sense. Yularen could smooth Thrawn's path through the High Command's data work and sheer inertia, while Thrawn in turn often spotted details that were useful to Yularen's investigations, particularly with the whole Night Swan puzzle. But the arrangement and the perks that went with it hadn't gone unnoticed by others in the Navy. Eli had caught the occasional odd look from other officers in passing, and formal communications with the Thunder Wasp sometimes carried undertones of resentment or envy. Thrawn naturally didn't seem to notice anything except the perks.
"Here," Thrawn said, swiveling around his desk display. "Tell me what you see."
Eli leaned closer. It was a summary of the planet's shipping records for the past 6 months, displayed side by side with a breakdown of cargo types. He ran his eye down them, his brain automatically sorting, merging, and analyzing. He smiled tightly.
"Shellfish."
"Precisely," Thrawn said.
The volume of shellfish exports has nearly doubled in the past 4 months. About the time the land dispute began? The dispute has been ramping up for approximately twice that long, Thrawn said. But the recent escalation in cross-border incidents does date from that point. The petition to Coruscant dates from 1 month afterward. The humans have some precious metals they want to smuggle,
Eli said slowly, working out the logic.
Possibly because they discovered a new vein 8 months ago.
He looked sharply at Thrawn.
Beneath the Aif's territory?
That's the most likely reason for the colonists' sudden demand for Aif land.
So they putter around with their own smuggling efforts for a while,
Eli continued.
Then someone calls in Night Swan. He shows them how to do it properly. They start shoving out their backlog inside the shellfish and decide they want better access to the vein. He shook his head. Kind of sloppy.
You'd think someone as clever as Night Swan could have come up with a new technique instead of repeating himself.
Come now, Thrawn said, mildly chiding. Don't you recognize an invitation when you see one?
Eli looked at the shipping list again.
Pretty daring, he said. Also pretty stupid. He just barely won the last round. You'd think he'd have learned to quit while he was ahead.
Ah, but did he win the last round?
Thrawn countered.
We agree he won at Umbara, but we really don't know how many other confrontations he and I may have had over the past few months. Only those operations that he signs, as it were, do we know to attribute to him.
I hadn't thought about that.
I have,
Thrawn said, his voice going dark and thoughtful.
Perhaps you hadn't noticed, but there appears to be a growing number of these incidents around the Empire. There's been an increase in smuggling activity, which robs Coruscant of tariff money. Thefts of metals like Dunium have also increased. At the very time the Empire is attempting to gather together as much of those resources as possible. There have been disputes like this one, sometimes between peoples on a single world, sometimes between neighboring systems, all of which distract attention and drain military resources. Even more disturbing, there are a growing number of incidents of unrest or open revolt.
And you think Night Swan is behind them?
All of them?
Thrawn shook his head.
No. At the moment, the turmoil is unorganized. Night Swan is not a shadowy mirror image of the Emperor guiding a growing army of disaffection. But I likewise have no doubt that Night Swan has had a hand in some of the incidents. In many of those, I suspect, he achieved his intended goal.
Whatever that goal happened to be,
Eli mused.
And now he's invited us to this one. I'm glad we could fit him into our schedule.
Indeed, Thrawn said. Let us see what he has arranged for us this time.
I really don't understand the purpose of this meeting, Commander,
Mayor Pord Benchell said.
His expression is tense, the muscles in his throat equally tight. His voice holds resentment and frustration.
You've asked nothing that wasn't in our reports and sworn statements to Coruscant. Have you even read them?
I have, Thrawn said. The purpose of this meeting is so that I may meet you in person. You and the rest of the dispute committee.
It's not a dispute committee,
Lenora Scath put in.
Her expression holds anger, as does her voice.
It's a committee for justice. We're the ones who've been attacked, Commander, not the Sifari.
The report suggests that is a matter of dispute,
Thrawn said.
Hence the term I have assigned you.
Not our reports,
Briggs Pulseri retorted.
Her expression and voice also hold anger.
Not any report that anyone in his right mind could believe.
Are you suggesting I am not in my right mind? Thrawn asked mildly.
No, of course not,
Pulseri said hastily.
Her anger decreases, replaced by caution.
I'm just saying you can't trust the Sifari to tell the truth. That clan thing of theirs means everyone always just repeats what the clan leader says.
I see, Thrawn said. Do you agree, Mr. Zanu?
Excuse me?
Clay Tanu asked.
His body stance suggests surprise and nervousness.
I asked if you agree the Sifari statements cannot be trusted.
Oh.
Tanu looked at the others.
Yes, of course. The clan thing, you know.
I've been told, Thrawn said, by reliable sources. Their expressions shift. Benchel and Scath wonder if the statement is an insult. Pulseri and Tanu are certain that it is. Some of the other 73 people gathered in the assembly room show similar emotions. Most are merely nervous or frightened. Those in the rear of the room are possibly too far away to hear the testimony. The sides of the room are covered with banners depicting their life on Sifar. The designs and patterns speak of the hardship and determination of their past, and of their hope for the future. Woven within those patterns are their closeness of family and distrust of outside authority.
Thank you. You may all return to your other activities.
Thank you, sir, Benchel said. May we ask what decision you've come to?
I have hardly had time to make a decision, Mayor Benchel. My next task is to view directly the disputed territory.
I'd advise against that, Commander,
Pulseri said.
The Sifari have threatened to attack anyone who comes onto their land without permission.
So I have heard, Thrawn said. Fortunately, I have already received Afe Chief Joko's invitation.
The reactions of expression and body stance are brief, but they are sufficient.
Well, good luck to you, Benchel said. I'd advise you to take a guard along anyway.
3 minutes later, the shuttle lifted into the air and flew off across the landscape.
Your conclusions, Ensign Vanto?
Thrawn invited.
Not entirely certain, sir,
Vanto said thoughtfully.
Mayor Benchel is an obvious choice. He's loud and passionate and did most of the talking. But I'm thinking he may be a little too loud.
And the others?
I'd say Scath and Pulseri. Maybe Tanu, but he seems a little too slow and simple-minded. I can't see Nightswan trusting him with big secrets.
You forget that the conspiracy was already in place when Nightswan was brought in, Thrawn said. He may not have had any choice as to participants. Anyone else?
I didn't see anything from the other 10 committee members. As far as I could tell, they were just regular colonists who'd been caught up in events, or possibly manipulated into believing what the others told them. Ditto for the onlookers.
Indeed, Thrawn said. My congratulations, Ensign. Your skills have improved markedly.
Thank you, sir,
Vanto said dryly.
Which ones did I miss?
None,
Thrawn said.
Scath, Pulseri, and Tanu are indeed involved in the conspiracy. Mayor Benchel, as you have already surmised, is one of the duped. Have you any further thoughts or conclusions?
Not yet, sir, Vanto said.
There is yet time,
Thrawn assured him.
Study further. We will speak again after we have met with Chief Joko.
Eli had done a quick study of the Sifari during the Thunder Wasp's voyage, and the closest image he'd been able to come up with for the native's appearance was large stick insects with Rhodian snouts and neat rows of short red fur, which, in real life, turned out to be exactly what they looked like.
I know not what to tell you, Commander Thrawn,
Chief Joko said, his voice simultaneously grating, whiny, and melodious. It was an interesting combination, one Eli hadn't run into before.
The reports of my clan's folk are true and accurate. The humans from the Hollandside Enclave have crossed the border on many occasions, stealing and mistreating our crops, and attacking or burning our farm structures.
He reached a long arm behind him and tapped the inner surface of the conical meeting house he had invited the Imperials into.
Once a home was also burned.
Fortunate that it was not the clan meeting house, Thrawn said, sending a long gaze around the structure and the dozens of designs decorating it. This structure is rich with the culture and history of the Aave clan.
It is,
Joko said.
Few of the Empire would notice. Fewer still would appreciate.
Perhaps. Did you confront the attackers?
On three occasions, our sentinels arrived at the incursion before the invader slipped away. On two of those occasions, the sentinels were attacked.
Were any injured or killed?
8 were injured. None was killed.
There is that, at least, Thrawn said. Let us hope this can be resolved before it reaches a stage that brings loss of life.
He finished his visual survey of the meeting house and returned his attention to Joko.
Let us now examine the other side of the blade. I am told members of the Aave clan have also crossed the border into the Hollandside Enclave.
To sit idly without giving response is to encourage further attacks,
Joko said, his snout flattening.
Yes, we have crossed the border. Yes, we have inflicted impairment equal to our suffering. But never have we attacked the humans on known soil.
Did you not defend yourself against human guards?
We did,
Joko said, his snout rounding back again and the tips of his fur going slightly orange.
But we shot only to distract and to drive away. We did not shoot to injure or kill.
Which wasn't what Mayor Benchell's report said, Eli remembered. According to him, several of the Enclave's hastily organized civilian guard force had been shot and wounded. And if Thrawn was right about Benchell not being part of the conspiracy, the mayor would have no reason to lie about that. Unless he had himself been lied to by one of the others. In that case, his report could be meaningless. Eli sighed to himself. Thrawn made it look so easy.
I would like to see where the first of these incursions occurred, Thrawn said. Will you send a guide with us in our shuttle to that location?
There is no need for shuttle or guide,
Joko said, unwinding from his cross-legged seated position like hair tresses unbraiding.
We are already here. Will you accompany me?
Of course, Thrawn assured him, standing up.
Eli, caught by surprise, scrambled to his feet.
It is fortunate that the incursions happened so near the clan meeting house.
Fortune follows design,
Joko said, with snout widening.
I anticipated your request.
He spread his arms to encompass the entire structure.
The clan meeting house is, of course, mobile. Come, I will show you. Here,
Joko said. He pauses at the edge of a field of stiff, desiccated grain stalks.
Here, when the grain was yet ripe and unharvested, is where humans first came onto Aith land.
Thrawn gazed across the field, wondering what the plants had looked like in full bloom. As it was, there was little left in the stalks for him to see. He looked back at the clan meeting house, 100 meters behind them. Its shape and structure reinforced the patterns of words and pictures he'd seen on the interior wall. Patterns and connections. Ultimately, that was what it came down to. Patterns and connections in nature. Patterns and connections in created things. Patterns and connections in warfare. Patterns of the humans and human smugglers. Patterns of the Aiths and Aith defense. Patterns of Nightswan. What were the patterns here? "Do airspeeders regularly cross this area?" he asked.
"Not regularly,"
Joko said.
"Sometimes a craft travels from the human enclave to the Twi'lek settlement."
"Are there pictures of the ground from any of those flights?"
"None that I know of,"
Joko said.
He touches the skin beside his eyes.
"We have seen the land from the height of the eyes."
He points upward.
"We need not see it from the height of the clouds."
"All information and points of view are useful," Thrawn said. "Ensign Vanto, please calculate the most likely route."
"No need,"
Joko said. He pulled a small, flat box from his waist sash and keyed it on. A huge hollow map of the area, vertical and 20 meters square, appeared 10 meters in front of them. Joko adjusted the box, and the view widened out.
"There are the two major cities for sky travel,"
he said, pointing on the hollow map. He keyed the box again, and the view zoomed in to where they were standing.
"No likely path comes overhead where we now stand."
"Yes, I see," Thrawn said. He studied the hollow map, then the cropland, then the hollow map again.
The overall crop field itself would be in clear view from an airspeeder, though this particular area would be at the edge of observation. Limited isolation, offering limited anonymity. Perhaps something had been visible before the harvest that was not visible now.
"Ensign, I will want a list of all who have traveled this route over the past year. Chief Joko, did any of the Aiths note anything unusual about the crops from this field? Was any grain discarded due to disease or malformation?"
"Some plants die in all fields. This field has a history of such damage. Still, it is mostly fertile, and water is abundant, so it continues to be planted."
"Yes."
A group of stalks that were slightly shorter and thinner than the rest was visible, forming a corridor 4 meters wide that started at the edge of the field and traced a winding path toward the center.
"Did the damage occur in this specific part of the field?"
"Yes."
Joko gazes at him, his upper body hunched over as if to bring his eyes closer to the Imperial's level.
"The stunted stalks are a sign of improper development. You have a keen eye, Commander Thrawn."
"Does your map also include the locations of human attacks on Aith territory?"
Joko adjusted the box. The focus of the map widened again. Another touch on the controls, and a dozen pulsing red dots appeared. All were north of the field where the Imperials now stood.
"The most recent are colored the darkest red."
"Your counterattacks on the humans?"
4 blue dots appeared, approximately opposite the 4 northernmost red dots.
"We are long suffering, but we finally have to take a stand."
"Understandable.
Patterns. And this pattern was beginning to emerge.
You will be guarding some of your villages tonight. Where will your guards be stationed?
Joko draws himself up to his full height.
Why do you ask?
I believe I can anticipate the human conspirators' plan for tonight, Thrawn said. I wish to see your deployment so that I may adjust my own plans.
Joko is silent for a few seconds, then touches the control. Three yellow spots appear on the map. One at the northernmost red spot, the other two farther north.
Their boldness takes them ever closer to our main cities,
he said.
We will guard these villages in anticipation. We will also hold guards in reserve to pursue them back to their lair and then trap them.
Yes. The deployment fit the pattern that the meeting house artwork had indicated. It was a pattern the conspirators had also likely learned over the many years the two species had lived side by side.
I offer two suggestions. First, do not hold guards for pursuit. Deploy them solely in protection of your villages.
You deny us the right of response?
I believe your attackers hope to lure you across the border so as to claim you invaded the Enclave, Thrawn said. By remaining on your side, you will deny them that weapon.
Yet the evidence will demonstrate their attack came first,
Joko said.
We have no intent of causing injury. Our pursuit would be solely to identify the invaders.
Nevertheless, I still caution restraint.
For how long, Commander Thrawn?
Joko's vertips turn briefly orange.
How long would you have us cower before an enemy?
It will end tonight.
Joko's eyes flick to Vanto, then to each of the five escorting stormtroopers, then back to Thrawn.
Tonight!
Tonight. In the meantime, I offer you my escort to deploy as you wish in defense of your villages. Be advised that their blasters will be set on stun. I will not kill anyone on either side.
But some of the humans are criminals.
When their guilt has been established, they will face imperial justice. Until then, there will be no killing.
Imperial justice?
Joko's voice and body stance hold contempt.
Very well, Commander Thrawn. I accept your word for now. You will return to your ship to ponder?
No, Thrawn said. Ensign Vanto and I will spend the night here.
Here on our world?
Here in this very spot, Thrawn said. Will you leave the meeting structure in its current place for our use?
Why?
I wish to observe the crops in the moonlight, Thrawn said. Sometimes the altered spectrum offers clues.
You will find no clues in that fashion. But I will leave the structure. Do as you will.
Thank you, Thrawn said. One final request. I know that many of your people live in this district. I request that they leave for tonight.
All of them?
All of them, Thrawn confirmed. They may move up into the hills or across the river, but all must leave this area.
But it will be disruption. They will need shelter and provisions. Many other families and young children that must travel.
The move will be only for this single night, Thrawn said. Surely the people of the Eighth Clan can endure a night of hardship in return for the reclamation of their land.
You can promise so quick a resolution?
I promise imperial justice, Thrawn said. Move your people. I will contact you when it is safe for them to return. 5 minutes later, the stormtroopers and the Aiffs departed. The first in the Thunder Wasp's shuttle, the second in the clan's ancient landspeeders.
Ensign, Thrawn invited.
You're expecting the conspirators to come here tonight, Vanto said. Probably in force.
Why?
Because they expect you to rule in favor of the Aiffs, and thereby block their access to the ore, Vanto said. This may be their last shot, and they want to take full advantage of it.
Very good, Thrawn said.
Vanto's pathway was slightly flawed, but his final conclusion was correct.
If they've had experience with Imperial justice, they won't expect an overly quick ruling. But a long investigation will certainly focus attention on this region and prevent them from returning without being observed.
Ah,
Vanto said, his earlier confidence slightly subdued.
I see. But your conclusion regarding the raid is still valid,
Thrawn said.
What do you conclude from the stunted plants?
Heavy metal poisoning,
Vanto said, his confidence returning.
Which further implies that the ore is near the surface.
Odd that no one spotted it before.
The planet's metallurgical needs are satisfied from other, more extensive mines,
Thrawn said.
A vein this size may not be worth developing. Unless you're a group of 10 or 20 that sees easy credits.
Yes.
Did you note the pattern in the humans' raids?
They're moving farther and farther northward, Vanto said. Moving toward the larger population centers. I assume they're trying to provoke a stronger reaction from the Aiffs.
Yes, Thrawn said. They recognize that the usual Sifari response to such attacks is to defend the last site attacked, plus the next two along the anticipated path. The conspirators' hope is twofold. To draw attention farther away from this spot, so their mining operation remains undetected, and to induce an Aiff attack that will result in human deaths.
They want the Aiffs to kill someone? Just so they'll have a better case to present to Coruscant?
Partly, Thrawn said. More significant is the fact that the Aiff ethos will cause them to recoil in shame and guilt, which will disadvantage them in future negotiations.
Which is why you advised Joko to stay on this side of the border, Vanto said, nodding. Even if they're not trying to kill, they might be manipulated into doing so.
You got all that from the artwork in the meeting house?
I did.
I wish you could teach me how to do that,
Vanto said ruefully.
If we're expecting company, shouldn't we bring down a few more Navy troopers or stormtroopers?
The two of us will be sufficient,
Thrawn said.
They won't expect trouble.
Vanto smiled in grim anticipation.
No,
he agreed.
I dare say they won't.